Father, we thank you again that you are the faithful one, for we fail. As we examine our lives and our walk with you, after all you have done for us, and yet so often we don't take that serious. We're not grateful and thankful for your faithfulness. And we live at a time when everything seems to be focused on us, on me, and less on you. And during this holiday season, a time for us to really think about your goodness and your greatness and your faithfulness and your desire to save sinners from their sin, there will be so much drawing our attention away from you. So help us, I pray. Speak to us even this morning through your word, and we'll thank you for all that you do and all that you accomplish, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to have a show of hands, but I am sure that a number of you were busy shoppers Friday, Black Friday. My wife and daughter, they took off. I mean, they just went off and had breakfast together. They didn't get back until after dark. Worse than deer hunters. You know, they leave before daylight and don't get back till after dark. But I asked this question: have we become a generation that is driven by reviews? You know, before you purchase that or before you look at investing in that, you want all the reviews to find out what's going on and what the talk of the town is. And I better turn this thing on, shouldn't I? It's not your fault, it's mine. And so we check all the reviews to find out, you know, just everything okay? I gotta have how many stars and all that. They had done a study. Can you imagine what they pay to do these studies? But they did a study to find out how many customers turn to the web to do research about products before they buy, and most online shoppers check the reviews. I do too. I do too. You know, 89% check the retailer websites and stores. 78% check manufacturer websites. 77% check customer reviews and ratings, and I've often wondered how much money these manufacturers pay people to put reviews out. You ever wondered that? You know, they may just have people they employ just to write reviews on their products, and how do we know? So I ask the question, are ratings always a good indicator? How about if you were getting the ratings? How would you be rated? If Central was getting ratings, what would the ratings be? And then that brings up the question, what would we do when the ratings began to drop? You know, we go from a 5-star to a 1.5-star. What do we do? I mean, something's got to happen here. You can't allow this to happen. And so that makes me wonder, you know, as we study the scriptures and we work our way through it, I wonder if Moses was getting reviews, what his reviews would be. You know, he was the guy that brought him out of Egypt and took him to the promised land, but throughout this journey, there were times when his ratings went, whoo, didn't they? How about the prophets? Most of them were rejected and hated and despised and killed. How about Jeremiah? We've been going through the book of Jeremiah, and I wonder what his ratings would have been. Not well, I'm sure. How about the Apostle Paul? You know, the guy that God used to write most of the New Testament. If at any time, any given time, there was a review given on the Apostle Paul, I wonder what would have been the response, how many stars he would have gotten. I wonder, how about Jesus? You remember the story is told of this rich young ruler? And he comes running to Jesus. I mean, he's running to Jesus, and he says, "What do I need to do in order to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You've read the commandments. Oh yeah, these commandments, I've kept them. I've kept them from my youth." And Jesus said, "Well, go sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me." And the young man just dropped his head and walked away. And I can almost imagine the disciples pulling Jesus off to the side and said, "Jesus, wait a second, Jesus, There's a guy going to be in the future. His name is Dale Carnegie, and he's going to write a book. And the book is How to Influence People and Win Friends or whatever, something like that. You ought to look ahead and get that book, you know, because Judas just checked the bag, and funds are running low here. And this rich young guy comes running up to you, and that's not the way you do business. I wonder how about the time when he went into the temple and he saw what was going on there. And he started tipping the tables over. And he built himself or made himself a whip, and he started chasing people out of that place. I wonder what kind of reviews Jesus would have gotten. How about the Bible? What kind of reviews would the Bible get if people really were honest and rated the Bible? Not just as a good book to have on a coffee table, but I mean a book that we think so much of that we base our lives on this thing. You know, God's word sometimes divides. As we read through the Bible, great leaders, God works in the midst of his people, and oftentimes it's the word of God that's dividing them. We're seeing that in the book of Jeremiah as we've been going through it. It divides. And even Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus came, in a sense, to divide, to set the difference between right and wrong, truth from lie. And sometimes it does that. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and go with me to Jeremiah 36 today, and you're going to really smile big when I tell you this, but I have 6 points this morning. My one daughter asked me if I had a poem. I said, "No, that's just for 3 points. You have a poem." But I got 6 points, and they're alliterated. When was the last time I brought you a message with so many points that were alliterated? I mean, this is good. I mean, aren't you excited? I can tell. But what we're going to find in Jeremiah 36 is that God's word always has mixed reviews. It always has mixed reviews. First thing I want you to see in Jeremiah 36 is God's word is revealed. It's given. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We are to hide his word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. His word is to be a lamp and a light that directs my way. And as we saw last week, we are to have convictions based on the word of God and to stand there regardless. But first it has to be revealed. And in chapter 36, we find that very possibly the book that we're looking at is being talked about here, is being revealed to Jeremiah. And so it said, "Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take a scroll of a book and write on it the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." God comes to Jeremiah. So, "Jeremiah, I'm gonna give you a word here. I'm gonna have you write a book. And I want you to write it all down. And just maybe when God's people, when my people hear what I'm about to do to them as a nation, how I'm going to bring judgment upon them, that they will then fear me and accept me and return to me." That's God's plan. You know, that's God's plan today. That's why he's given us this book. He didn't give it to me to be an ornament on the coffee table. He didn't give this to me just to be something that I carry with me to church. He gave this to me that I might know him. And that not only that I might know him, that I might know how to live. And that's what he says in these first three verses. As he's going to reveal his word to Jeremiah that lo and behold, maybe as it's then recorded and then we're going to see read, that people will hear it And they will be overcome with their sins and recognize that they deserve God's judgment, but they turn from their sins, that he would not have to do that. And so the first part, we see that God's word is revealed. Then it's recorded. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neriah, and Barak wrote on a scroll all of the book, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words that the Lord, which he had spoken to him. So Jeremiah has Barak come in, and he begins to write all of this. And so it's first revealed, then it's recorded, and then it's going to be, in a sense, distributed or read. In Jeremiah 36, 5 through 8, Barak has that opportunity, and it says, Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Now, don't know exactly why here, what's happened, but he's somehow been excommunicated, I guess. I don't know, but he's not allowed the freedom to go in to the house of the Lord. So he's going to have Barak do this. Verse 6, he says, you go. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting, and you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury of the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Barak, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the house of the Lord. And so we had it revealed, and it's recorded, and now God's word is going to be read before all the people. And again, the hope is that when the people hear the word of God, that they will hear all that God is saying. They will recognize their sinfulness. They will recognize the need for forgiveness. They will recognize that there is grace from God that can be obtained from all who will hear and obey and repent from their sins. That's the hope. That's the hope today too, isn't it? The book of Romans reminds us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so as God's word is opened and presented before us, it's meant to change us, it's to affect us, it's to convict us, it is to transform us from being the individuals who chase after me, myself, and I, to people who love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. And so God revealed his word to Jeremiah, and it's possible that what we're talking about is the book that we've had preserved down through all these ages that we have the privilege of reading. And so it's recorded, and now it's going to be read, and the hope is that the people will hear this and respond. And some do. Remember, the word of God has mixed results, mixed emotions, mixed reviews. And so in verses 9 through 11, we find that Barak is reading to certain individuals. And it said, now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people who come from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Barak read from the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber. And Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court of the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. And they're reading. And everybody is listening. And they're receiving it. And they're just absorbing it. Now, generally, when God's word is being shared, when it's being read, when it's being taught, and there's people like us gathered together, did you know it was possible for you to sit here and not hear a thing I'm saying? Did you know that was possible? You didn't know that, did you? It's possible that there are individuals that really don't, they're not really there to hear. They're not really interested in what's got going to be said. They're just putting in their time. They're doing this so that God will be happy with them. But a number of these individuals that are listening to the Word of God as Barak is sharing with them, it wasn't just something they heard read. It began to affect them. It began to go just from their ears to their brains, down into their heart and their soul, and they began to become gripped with what they were hearing. And so God's word was revealed, it was recorded, it was read, it's received, and it's revered. In the last part of verse 14, I said, more people got to hear this. We got to take this down to the scribes. The scribes have to hear what God said to Jeremiah that's been brought to us. We've got to hear the rest of this. We've got to hear more. And so the last part of verse 14, we read that Barak, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and he came to them. And they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Barak read in their hearing. Now it happened when they heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Barak, we will surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words at his instruction? So Barak answered them. He proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princes said to Barak, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. I mean, they're listening to what's being read. And you know, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah for a number of weeks now, and we've been taking it generally chapter by chapter by chapter, and you know as well as I do this, we've been going through it. It's a difficult book. It's a hard book. I mean, it's talking about God's wrath and his judgment, and he's going to bring the Babylonians in here. He's going to bring chaos into these lives of these people. He's going to destroy Jerusalem. He's going to destroy the temple. He's going to have people killed and taken captive. It's one of those kind of books. And they're listening to this. And they're saying, man, if this is true, if God's really going to bring his wrath upon us, then we've got to let the king know. Things have got to change around here. We don't want God's wrath. And they said, how did you get this? And he said, well, you know, God revealed it to Jeremiah, and I wrote it down, and now I'm reading it to you, and you're hearing it. You take Jeremiah, and you guys hide. Not sure how the king's going to handle this. But he needs to know. They got to hear. They weren't casual at all. You've got the whole book, don't you? I mean, you don't just have the book of Jeremiah. You've got 66 books. And you know, we can open it up and we can begin to read in Genesis, and we can read about how God created and placed everything in its place, and then how he began to work in the lives of people. He was going to bring a Messiah. And the Messiah is going to come when we get to Matthew and start to read the Gospels. The Messiah has come. And the Messiah was rejected. And the Messiah is then crucified on the cross of Calvary. And then he ascends into heaven. But one day he's coming back. And one day when he comes back, he is going to bring judgment on the world. And everyone who does not know Christ as Lord and Savior is doomed for eternity. And we take that so casually. We work with people. We have relatives and friends that don't know Christ. And no big deal to us, but these guys are shook up. They're shook up. Is this really going to happen? Is destruction really going to come upon Jerusalem? Is the temple really going to be destroyed? Is Nebuchadnezzar going to bust through these walls and kill our families and arrest us? Is that really going to happen? Something's got to be done. They took it serious. I mean, they heard this, and their hearts were just filled with fear. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And they were beginning to get that wisdom. That instruction was impacting their lives, and they wanted, is there something we can do? Yeah, there's something you can do. Repent. Turn from your sins and turn back to God. And that's what's supposed to happen. That was what God was hoping would happen. Has he gave this book to Jeremiah, and it was being read to the people. He was hoping that they would respond, and they would repent from their sins and brokenness and come to him. But God's word always has mixed reviews. So the next thing we find here is that God's word is rejected. In Jeremiah 36, starting in verse 20, they bringing it to the king's attention. In verse 20, it said, "And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king." They took the scroll and they hid it. They want to protect this thing, and so they don't take it before the king at this particular point. They're going to hide it. They're going to somehow preserve this, if possible. Verse 21, "So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princesses who stood before the king. Now the king was sitting in winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened, when Jehudi had read three or four columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words." Mixed reviews. The one group of people hear God's word proclaimed and read, and they're shook with fear that God would actually bring judgment and cause this to happen. But the leadership could care less. They're surrounded with these prophets who are saying, "Oh, you don't have to worry. Jeremiah is a kook. He's a negative preacher. We're positive preachers." So the king just took the scroll, and he took his knife, and he cut it up, and he threw it in the fire. So God's word has mixed reviews. And it wasn't back then. Even in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul found this to be true when he went into Thessalonica. And we read in Acts 17 saying that Paul is sharing. He said, "This Jesus whom I preached to you, the Christ..." And when he preached that, it says, "Some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. However, but the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, sent all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people." God's word always has mixed reviews. Question is, what's my vote? What's your vote? Remember last week, I'm sure you do. It was hard for me to do. But I stood here and I was talking about convictions and how important this book has to be. You know, God said it. And I believe it. And that settles it for me. But for so many, they don't really care. And so I tossed it down. You remember that? Yeah, you remember that. That was hard for me to do. But sometimes we do far worse. You know, when Jesus taught, he was talking about the heart of a man, the soul of who I really am. And he said, you know, a man that lusts after a woman has committed adultery already in his heart. And so he's showing us that what's really on the inside is what God sees and what he is really looking at. He told us that if I hate my brother, I'm guilty of murder. And so again, he's dealing with this. And so I read his book. And then it tells me how I'm supposed to live. And I say, I don't care. I wonder what that's equated to. Would that be like spitting on the Bible? Would that be similar to the king cutting it up and throwing it on a fire? Are you following me? He that lusts after a woman is guilty of adultery. He that hates his brother is guilty of murder. He who knows the word of God and yet takes no note of it. What does that mean? And so my review should be different, shouldn't it? I mean, the whole reason that God was giving this message to Jeremiah, he didn't want to bring judgment on these people. He would rather stop Nebuchadnezzar in his tracks than allow him to go through with this. But at this point, Nebuchadnezzar was his man. And he was about to bring the judgment upon these people. But that doesn't what God takes pleasure in. He doesn't want to do this. No more than he wants to send a bunch of people to hell for all eternity. He takes no joy in that. He doesn't. In fact, God so loves the world. He gave his only begotten son for you, for me, for everyone here. He went to the cross of Calvary to die in my place that I might not receive the judgment that is due to me and the judgment that's due to you. And so in Jeremiah chapter 36, we see just exactly what mankind is made of in a sense. I mean, God's word was given. God's word was recorded. God's word was read. To some, it impacted their lives. And they understood the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. They didn't want his judgment. They wanted his acceptance. But then there was another percentage of the people that hated it, despised it, rejected it, and cut it up and burn it. And so if we really were to give our reviews, I know that it would all be positive if we had a chance to write it down. But God sees our reviews. God knows my reviews. He knows whether his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He knows whether his word is hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. He knows. And he also knows if I don't really care. No big deal. I just don't believe it. Susie, she jumped all over me last week. I mean, she just jumped right over me. She said, she cornered me Sunday night, didn't you? And she said, you know, I really appreciate you saying, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. She said, a lot of people just skip the middle part. They say, God said it, and that settles it. And I said to her, well, there's a reason. I said, now, we were dealing with convictions last week, and that's what convictions are. Convictions are God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. I'm unmovable. But there's a lot of people that say, God said it, I don't care. But that's where the other part, God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, this is what we'll be judged by. This is what I'm going to be judged by, believe it or not. I can discard it. I can cut it in pieces, and I can throw it in a fire. I can reject it and go my own way and live my own way. But this is the book that I'll be judged by. God said it, and that settles it. So I got it balanced out right now. And so we need to be people that not only read it, but it convicts us. It is going to be the final authority of life for me. This is how I make my decisions. This is what God has taught. And I don't always understand it, but his word tells me this is what I should do. This is how I should live. And that develops into convictions. But it's a scary thing to think that we can just cut it up and throw it in the fire as if it was not important. Now, none of us would do that. None of us would do that, literally. But what do I do when I'm reading through the Bible and there it is? That's what it says. How do we handle that? Well, we should handle it by saying, God said it, and I'll believe it. And that settles it for me. So the burning of the scroll we find in Jeremiah 36. And it's always wrong to know what God's word says, but disregard it as unimportant to me. To me. I don't believe it. I don't agree with it. That's always a dangerous thing. And I hope and pray that each of us have a respect for for God's word. There are people around the world that don't have this book. They would like to have just one verse. And I encourage you to become students of God's word. You know, you've heard me say that if you believe it because I say it, I pity you. And that's true. You don't believe anything that I say just because I say it. We got to be people of the book. And our relationship with the Father is such that drives us to know his word. Not to just know it. Yeah, a lot of folks know it. I mean, they can quote verses and all of that, but it's got to change my life. It changes the way I think, the way I live, what I do. That's what God's word is supposed to do. So we do. We live at a time when everybody is looking at the reviews before they purchase, before they invest. Well, I'm sure in all reality that if God's word was getting reviews today, it would be mixed. Because the majority of the folks don't really care. But just because the majority of the folks are negative and don't care, we should care. You should care. I should care. And I hope and pray that this is your lamp and light that directs your way. I hope this is what you're hiding in your heart, that you won't sin against him. I hope that through this, God is equipping us as a body to be able to do all that he's called central to do. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're hearing and understanding for the first time God's judgment is real. There is a time coming. There's a point that a man wants to die and then judgment. And we're going to be judged by the book. If you don't have that relationship with him, recognize even now this morning that you are a sinner. And because of that, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to the cross of Calvary, to die in your place, to pay the penalty for your sins, that you might be able to be forgiven. Ask him right now. Find that relationship with the Father. For those of us that are believers, I think it would be wise for us to really examine our lives and our attitude towards God's word. I don't want to be guilty of cutting it up and burning it. I want to hide it in my heart, and I hope you do too. Father, I want to thank you for this morning and for this chapter. Interesting how we can find a chapter like this in the middle of the Old Testament, tucked into the book of Jeremiah, where the hearts of man is truly revealed in regards to their thoughts and response to your word. It's so true even today. There are so many people in this country. Oh, we call ourselves religious individuals, a religious nation. We even call ourselves a Christian nation. Yet we've thrown the Bible out of the schools. We've thrown prayer out. And oftentimes in our own lives, we get upset when they remove a monument with the Ten Commandments, and yet they haven't even affected our own lives. Oh, help us. Help us to become a people who love your word. And we love your word because we love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And in these days in which we live, may your word guide us, direct us, and may we shine brightly in the midst of darkness, that there be no question of what our review is on the word of God. And Father, if there be anyone here that would like to speak with me later, I would be glad to talk with them. There are others here that would be more than happy to sit down with them and open up the word. I pray that you may give us that opportunity. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.